Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio's Raw Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And we've had a lot of problems with the weather, and we've had a lot of problems with the internet, so we have started early. We had some problems early again. We apologize for that. We're going to stay here a little bit longer today so that we can brush up on everything you missed yesterday from our Hell in a Cell review and give you a full review of Raw. 347-215-8486 if you'd like to get in on the conversation, 347-215-8486. Of course, you can hit us up in the chat room and we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. We realize it's a pretty odd time to start, but we had to start while we could. The storm is raging outside the windows. We have no idea how long the internet here is going to last. We have the trucks in the very lane that we're broadcasting out of here, working on the wires, so we're going to do what we can. Anyway, folks, you know, yesterday we were talking about how Hell in the Cell felt as match-by-match basis that it was a very strong pay-per-view. But what it was lacking, of course, was the emotional investment from the fans. Most fans really didn't care who won or lost any of those matches. And unfortunately, it really took away from what could have been a really good pay-per-view. Now, we were up to the Alexa Bliss match, and we were saying basically, look, Shayna Baszler really undersold this. I mean, she's screaming and yelling and breaking mirrors, and then she's, oh, I have no fear of Alexa Bliss. Well, I don't know. If that had happened to me, I would have had a pretty healthy fear of the person who did it, because obviously something's well wrong with them, right? So she kind of undersold that. And then during the match, we had this weird thing where apparently if you look in her eyes, she can hypnotize you. I don't know, folks. I don't see how this is going to work. I really don't see how this is going to turn out good for Alexa Bliss. And it's a shame because I'll tell you this. Alexa Bliss was on a roll with this character. She was on a legitimate roll with this character. She was doing fantastic. And then they sidetracked it, and they sort of made her the female fiend, didn't they? And I think that's where this thing kind of jumped the shark. And now we're into an area where most fans, not all, but most fans are saying, this is getting silly. Even the fiend didn't do that. Think about this for a minute. You may say, well, what's the difference? Fiend character's kind of silly too. Well, how is it silly? He never did anything supernatural, really. Did he float above the ring? Did he cause people to slap other people? Did he hypnotize people and make them do things? No. He was just a vicious, monstrous sort of a figure who got in there and was extremely violent. That's all. Now, Alexa Bliss has gotten to the point now where she can make you break a hole just by staring in her eyes. Well, if she can make you do that, then I would assume that she could make you just lie down and get pinned. So, yeah, this is getting into some seriously bad territory for her, and I think it's unfortunate because I think what's going to end up happening here is this character and this gimmick is going to get old and stale really, 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 really quick. And when that happens, I know what they're going to do. They're going to snap her back out of this and say, oh, I'm the old Alexa Bliss again, and there's going to be no explanation as to why. Just one day I'm just going to be, or they're going to modify the character so that she can't do any of those things anymore. And no explanation why she can't do any of those things anymore. It's the problem with the WWE, and it's a big problem. They jump into these things headlong and then say, how do we get ourselves out of them? Rather than to have a cohesive plan for this is how we're going to get out of this. We're going to do this for a short period of time, and then this is how we bail on it. And they don't have any idea. It's just jumping out of the airplane without the parachute and saying, I hope I land on something soft. That's exactly what it is in the WWE, especially on Raw. So while the match itself, I mean, it was what it was. What are you going to say about it? It was okay, but it's based on a supernatural gimmick that, to be honest, failed with Papa Shango. They tried that failed. They've tried this a couple times. It always fails. And Alexa Bliss deserves better than this because she's actually a really good actress. She's a good wrestler. She's a popular figure, and I just don't see this as working out for her in the long run. Anyway, Rhea Ripley, Charlotte Flair. Now, from what I've heard, this was the WWE's attempt to double flip two characters. They were going to flip Charlotte face, Rhea Ripley heel. Here's the problem with it. Rhea Ripley's always been a heel. Oh, I know. She's come out once in a while and said, oh, I'm going to help Oscar. I'm going to help so-and-so. When she first came out, she had a bad attitude and a big chip on her shoulder. Then next week, they said, oh, we got to ease her up. I think we want her to be a face. And then she came out the week after that, bad attitude, chip on her shoulder, attacking people. And then she was back to being okay again. And they had no idea what they wanted to do with her. Is she heel? Is she face? How come you don't know that? Before she steps out that curtain for the very first time, how come you don't know that? Once again, jumping out of the airplane without the parachute and hoping you land on something soft. We don't know what we're going to do with Rhea. Bring her out there. Today, act mean. Sneak attack somebody. Now we didn't like that. Act nice. Help somebody who got sneak attacked. And we don't like that either. Go back to being mean. You're better mean. No. You're going to face Charlotte. Charlotte's a heel. Go back to being face. Maybe we'll double flip. They have no idea what they're doing. And in doing so, they destroyed this match. And I'll tell you why they destroyed this match. Because about 85% of the offense was Charlotte Flair. Charlotte Flair looked dominant. She did not look like someone who was in there against someone extraordinarily tough and was doing her best to pull it out. If you wanted to turn Charlotte Flair face and Rhea Ripley heel in that match, Rhea Ripley has to be dominating. And I'll tell you why. Because then if Rhea Ripley is dominating, Charlotte Flair mounts the babyface comeback. Looks like Charlotte's just moments away from winning the belt, and Rhea Ripley cowardly gets herself disqualified. Then Charlotte Flair looks like the babyface who mounted the wonderful comeback, and Rhea Ripley looks like a scared rabbit, chicken shit heel. That's not what happened. That's not what happened. Charlotte Flair was dominating the match. Looked like she was handling Rhea Ripley rather easily. Rhea Ripley intentionally gets herself disqualified, may or may not look like she's a cowardly heel, but to me it just looked like she was aggravated with Charlotte Flair. Charlotte rolled out of the ring after her, and she said, fine, take this, and she gets disqualified for something that, quite frankly, people have done in every match. Roll outside the ring and put people through tables, you're not disqualified. Rhea Ripley hit Charlotte with the top of a table, you're disqualified. Makes no sense. So now we'll get to Raw, of course, in a little while when we're joined on the phones pretty soon. But the bottom line of the situation is this. You failed. You failed to make Rhea Ripley look interesting or tough. You failed to make Charlotte Flair look sympathetic in any way or in any way fans wanting to root for her. So now you have two very unlikable characters that no one cares who wins. And you're about to give them another rematch at Money in the Bank. No one cares who wins. You have two extraordinarily unlikable characters. Rhea Ripley, I don't even know if she knows how to be a face. I haven't seen her. I know in NXT she was supposedly a face, and she wasn't too good at it there. She was a better wrestler there, but she wasn't even too good at it there. Rhea Ripley has this weird thing where my idea of a face is I'm a smug, self-confident, chip-on-my-shoulder woman who absolutely thinks I'm better than every single other person on the planet, and I just laugh off even people who are way, 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 way more advanced than myself. That's not a good baby face. It's just not. And Charlotte Flair, when she turns face, says, I'm still the queen, woo, and I'm the best, and that's not a good baby face either. So basically, I don't think either one of them have any idea what the hell they want to do, one way or the other. And the WWE has no idea what they want to do with them. So this is why they get stuck in this nonsense. And that's exactly what it is. It's nonsense. So it was a fine match, but it accomplished nothing. Just as I had suspected it was going to accomplish nothing, and I'd said on our pre-show, it's going to accomplish nothing, and that's exactly what it did. If it accomplished anything, it made both of these people even more unlikable than they already were. And that's not a good thing. It's not a good thing. Now, as far as the last and feature match, the Hell in a Cell match, between Bobby Lashley and Drew McIntyre, this was, beyond a shadow of a doubt, one of the better Hell in a Cell matches they've ever had. Not because people fell off the top of the cage or fell through it, or not because there was a million gimmick, but because they were really going at each other. See, this is what I give Drew McIntyre a ton of credit for, and I give it to Bobby Lashley too, although Lashley doesn't take that much abuse. Drew McIntyre is from that school of thought that if you're going to go ahead and do this gig called professional wrestling, it's going to hurt. And if you expect to get in there and do 10-15 minute match and say, well, I don't know, I got a little bruise on my shin and I really think that I shouldn't have to suffer that. So I'm going to have a word with my opponent because really, you know, I think that's outrageous that I have to have a bruise on my shin after this match. I should have come out untouched. Drew McIntyre's not that guy. Drew McIntyre's like Sheamus. And that is, if you're going to get in here and you're going to do it, then understand you're going to take a certain amount of punishment and it's going to show and it's going to be real. The outcome is predetermined, and I'm not going to try to hurt you or put you in the hospital, but I'm not going to baby you either. I'm not going to pat you on the ass and say, am I squeezing this too tight? Did I hit a little hard? Because that's not what pro wrestling is. Drew McIntyre's back looked like hamburger meat, and I'm sure that Drew McIntyre told Bobby Lashley, when you hit me, go, just hit me, and I'll take it on my back. It's not that big of a deal. Let the fans see that there's contact here. Those hard-edged, hard-nosed matches are my favorites because that's exactly what I think pro wrestling's supposed to be. It has to blur the line between fantasy and reality. It has to make you as the fan say, I don't care what anybody says. That has to hurt. Nobody could go do that and not get hurt. And then you start to blur that line where you say, man, are they hitting each other for real because they don't really like each other, or what's going on here? It seems much more intense than just a normal match. They had that kind of match. I have nothing bad to say about the feature match of Hell in a Cell as far as the match quality itself. But after you have went through this war, and that's what it was, a total war, you can't lose with a roll-up from behind. You can. I don't care if MVP interfered. You cannot lose with a roll-up from behind. Can't be done. It looks ridiculous. Drew McIntyre has kicked out of everything. He's gotten out of the Hurt Lock. He's gotten out of everything. You can't kick out of a roll-up. Terrible ending. Terrible ending. So what do we have here, folks? Well, I'll tell you what we have. We have a pay-per-view that was filled with pretty damn good matches that nobody cared about, that had ridiculously bad endings, ridiculously bad booking, and truthfully took away from the quality of the matches. That's what the problem was. So what do I give it? I give it a C. I think overall Hell in a Cell was an average pay-per-view. Could have been much, much better than average, Mike, but just not enough caring about who wins and loses and some very questionable booking.
Right, and we've said it before. When your bookers don't care, then that translates to the fans, and the fans don't care. Right? So, and you're right. Sheamus and both Sheamus and and Drew McIntyre are, I mean, they would have fit very well in the Attitude Era. They would have fit very well in the Federation Era. They would have fit very well. I mean, they're old school. They have that old school feel to them, right?
That's yeah.
Both Sheamus and look, I'll say this too, Marcus. Two of the best matches he's had, Bobby Lashley, were against who? Sheamus and
Drew McIntyre.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because he's drawing the better. They're drawing the better out of him. They're making him look credible. All right, let's jump to Monday Night Raw and get this thing started. Monday Night Raw starts out with a celebration with Bobby Lashley. It's interrupted by the New Day. I'm not for this, and I'm going to tell you why I'm not for it. I realize it's trying to further the storyline of possibly why either Xavier Woods or Kofi Kingston or both are eventually going to go with MVP, and I firmly believe that's where this is going. So I understand why that's taking place. What I don't understand is why anyone in their right mind would buy into, oh, I can't wait to Hell in a Cell to see Kofi Kingston against Bobby Lashley. If Drew McIntyre's not winning, Kofi Kingston's not winning. It's just not happening. So we're going to be led down into this Money in the Bank thing with another match that we say, ah, it's a moot point. I mean, we'll watch the match, but we already know what's going to happen, and I doubt there's going to be any branches on the tree. I don't think Xavier's going to interfere on behalf of Kofi or Bobby Lashley. Makes no sense. And even if they do that, even if this is the moment where Xavier Woods, you think he's going to help Kofi and he helps Bobby Lashley instead, Story's told too soon. So, again, we're looking down the barrel of, I don't like this Hell in the Cell match. I don't think this is a real championship quality match. I just don't. But it gets worse. It gets worse because we're told there's going to be qualifying matches. And the first one is right up, AJ Styles versus Ricochet. Someone please tell me what Ricochet has done to qualify for a Money in the Bank match for a title. I'm waiting. Tell me what he's done. Why, how did he earn that? How did Ricochet earn that? Anybody? No. He's done nothing. Might as well give it to Mansoor. Might as well give it to Elias. Might as well give it to Jeff Hardy, like Jeff Hardy said backstage. Might as well give it. Jeff Hardy's had two wins in a row. He's had two wins in a row. He doesn't get it. Ricochet does. That's why wins and losses don't matter. They just don't matter. AJ Styles is a tag team champion. What in the hell? The minute they announced it, I said, look, AJ Styles already got a match at Money in the Bank with the Viking Raiders. That's a tag team with Almost. He's not going to go in Money in the Bank too, so he's going to lose. And he's going to lose to Ricochet, which is ridiculous because Ricochet's not winning Money in the Bank. And everyone in the world knows it. So why are you putting one single solitary soul in Money in the Bank that has absolutely zero chance to win? I'll tell you why. Because you want them to do a whole bunch of fun things off the ladder. That's the only reason why. Oh, everybody knows you're not going to win, but you'll get a bunch of high spots in. That's all that we care about. You can be our high spot monkey. In the meantime, fans are like, yeah, well, Ricochet's not winning. Who cares? If you're going to do Money in the Bank the right way, every single one of those people in that match should have a bona fide chance of winning where you say, man, I don't know. Look at the field. Field is fantastic. Who's going to pull down this Money in the Bank briefcase? Well, I can damn sure tell you it's not Ricochet. So letting him win this match because the Viking Raiders came out. By the way, Almost wasn't cheating. If the Viking Raiders came out because Almost was clearly cheating to help AJ Styles and they were trying to help Ricochet, I could see it. That's not what was happening. Almost was just standing there. And here come the Viking Raiders to attack him for no apparent reason. So what has this done? This has made Ricochet, any wins that Ricochet has gotten recently, which was just the one where him and Humberto Carrillo together beat Sheamus, it was cheating. So once again, what does that make Ricochet look like? Oh, I'll gladly accept this victory that basically was a heel victory. What's the difference between what Ricochet did to win his match and what a heel does when a heel comes down and distracts somebody to win a match? I don't get it. It just made Ricochet look like a putz. I didn't really beat AJ Styles, and I have no real chance of winning Money in the Bank, but I'll go and do flips for you folks, and you can cheer. Terrible. Absolutely terrible. And it goes to show you how the WWE has all of their top guys locked up in things that they can't get out of, so they have no Money in the Bank people. Oh, we can't really put AJ in it. He's a tag team champion. Why isn't Almos in it? If AJ's in it, why isn't Almos in it? He might be able to reach the damn briefcase without a ladder. I mean, the bottom line of the situation is you can't say, well, one guy's in it, but one guy isn't. Why? That's not what you did with Randy Orton and Riddle. And they're not the tag team champions. So both of those guys are in it, but only one from the tag team champions is in it. That doesn't make any sense at all, Todd.
Well, you're absolutely right there, like you said, with AJ Styles and Almos. I don't, like you said, well, mostly, I don't know why AJ Styles is involved in that match last night. It just, he always has a match at Money in the Bank. I don't know why Ricochet's in it. What'd he do? He didn't.
Well, that's the thing. And if AJ Styles is in it, like, why isn't Almos in it?
Right, and here's the deal. By having them, you're confusing the fans. You want Almos and AJ to be heels, right? Well, you have these other two guys come out and attack them for no apparent reason. It's almost like you were trying to flip AJ and Almos, which I don't think they want to do, and flip the other two guys, which I don't think they want to do, you know? So that's another reason why that didn't make sense.
Right, exactly. Is AJ in almost heels or faces? God, it's just terrible. I mean, I don't even know what to say about it. It's just terrible. Then we get to Asuka and Naomi, who are suddenly, I guess, best friends now that Asuka's not a top contender for a belt anymore, I guess, against Doudrop and Eva Marie. And the idea behind these matches are both women. It'll be a tag team match, but if whoever wins, both women get to go into the Money in the Bank. The rules are just whatever. It's so funny. This whole thing is predicated on Eva Marie not even getting on the ring apron, only getting in when she thought that Doudrop had finished off her opponent and then found out that she didn't finish off her opponent. And Doudrop then says, oh, no, I'm not tagging you back in. I've had enough of you already. 1 week, she had enough of her. You want to talk about telling a story too soon? So let me get this straight. You started telling the story that hour that perhaps she wasn't happy with the name Doudrop. She wasn't happy with the way Eva Marie was sort of taking credit for her victory. And then an hour later, not even an hour later, it's over. It's done. I've dissolved the partnership. I'm not happy with you. Wow. There's a quick story told. Talk about the Reader's Digest condensed version of a story. Holy mackerel. I thought we were going to get this whole thing where she was going to say, well, let's face it, a girl who looks like you would never get any attention, where a girl who looks like me gets all the attention. I'm the one who's getting the spotlight for you. How dare you be so selfish as to say you're doing all the work. People would be flipping the dial if I wasn't outside the ring. I thought this whole thing was coming. And then eventually this girl who's sick of being told she's not good looking, she's not this, she's not good enough, is going to snap on Eva Marie. That's what I thought the story was going to be. Now the story's over. holy mackerel. And Eva Marie doing her normal job of doing absolutely zero. Makes you wonder how she getting in this Federation. I could think of some ways. I'm not going to say them. But, I mean, it's unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. So Asuka and Naomi both go to the their perspective, win their perspective qualifier, I guess, and they're both in Money in the Bank. Naomi's not. Why is Naomi in it? Naomi lost the Doudrop on a single one-on-one match. How is it that she is now qualified to be possibly the next holder of the Women's Money in the Bank briefcase? How is that possible? You can just lose 2, 3, 4 matches in a row and you're still in a qualifying match? Why? What qualifies you? At least she can hang her hat on the fact she's even lost a couple of matches in a row. But at least you can hang your hat on the fact, well, she was last year's Money in the Bank winner. You pretty much got to give her a shot. But not Naomi. It's just, again, Naomi's just in there as a warm body. She's not winning. And Eva Marie, her act is over now. I mean, she's not even in the Money in the Bank. So I don't. You want to talk about just, let's end the story. Holy mackerel. I don't know what's up with that, Mike. That's just a disaster.
I don't know what's up with it as well. And here's the deal. They had something. They were on the road to having something with Eva Marie and Lana, but they got rid of Lana. Number one. Number two, Marcus, this could have been, if they played this thing right, this could have been the start of, you know, of Naomi eventually ending up with Roman Reigns and them. Because think about it. She loses and she gets tired of it and she flips on and they flip her on Asuka. There's a potential feud for later on, and then Asuka eventually gets back the world championship. Well, there you go, and then you bring in Paul to come in and say, I can help you get that championship. Well, there you go, but obviously they don't want to flip Naomi.
No, obviously not, and we should interject, too, that the WWE's denied even being in talks with Brock Lesnar. Now, they probably would deny it even if they were ready to launch him any minute, but just for the record, the WWE says there's been no negotiation with Brock Lesnar, so I don't know what to tell you about that. There has been, however, negotiation with Goldberg. What are you going to do? Anyway, John Morrison, who has done exactly what to qualify for Money in the Bank. I can't stand it. You know, I'm sitting here watching Raw last night, and I'm saying, I just can't believe that qualified writers write this. 10-year-old could sit there and say, well, I don't know, why do you have these people in these matches? You know what the answer is? We don't have anybody else. We haven't promoted anybody else. And anybody who's any good is already either A, caught in a storyline, or B, they got a championship belt. Now, Randy Orton, yeah, even though he's involved in the storyline, you had a perfect opportunity here at WWE. And you know what your perfect opportunity was? Both Randy Orton and Riddle qualify. Now, you still can do that because we'll talk about that in a minute. But Randy Orton actually loses to John Morrison because of the distraction caused by Riddle and his scooter. I mean, a good match, but at the end of the day, Randy Orton losing to John Morrison doesn't do a whole lot for Randy Orton. This is the man who beat The Fiend twice, and he loses to John Morrison. Oh, my God. And here's what you're doing. John Morrison's not winning the Money in the Bank either. So now you have two Raw men's qualifiers who you know for sure they're not winning. So you've taken your, how many is it in Money in the Bank? I think it's eight people go in or whatever. So 2 out of 8 right now are guaranteed not winning. So 1/4 of your roster, and the only 2 you've announced so far, are winning. they're not winning. So this kind of spoils your money in the bank, because no one in their right mind thinks John Morrison's pulling down that briefcase. No one in their right mind thinks Ricochet's pulling down that briefcase. Neither one's going to. And if they do, it's a disaster, because they're not winning the belt. And they're not even putting up a good fight for it. So, you know, listen, I just don't see how this helps in any way, shape, or form promote Money in the Bank. How does it help promote Money in the Bank, Todd? It seems worthless.
I'm absolutely right there, like you said. It really seems worthless to have something like that. And, you know, Morrison's not going to win it. I don't think he's going to win the Money in the Bank. It's just bad.
It is, because you've taken two people that can't win and the fans know can't win, and you've thrown them in there, and fans are just like, okay, well, they're not winning, so pretty soon we'll be able to figure out exactly who's winning, just because the other ones are obviously not. I don't know why they did this exactly, Mike, but I think it's a mistake.
I think it's a mistake as well, and frankly, you know, I just don't understand what they're thinking. I mean, obviously, let's just say for the sake of argument, you know, on the SmackDown side, you put, you know, at some point, you do the whole same thing, and you end up putting the Usos in there. Now, granted, Jimmy maybe don't deserve it, but they've done a great job with Jay, making him a possible main event guy, which that would lead to doing as well, you know, having him have, that's another form of conflict between him and his cousin, because would he actually go against his cousin and cash it in, or would he keep it and just hold it and hold it and hold it, you know, that type of thing.
Mike, you could do that with Jey Uso, who arguably isn't a main event guy, and still say, oh, that would be interesting if he won, because that's good story writing over there. Has nothing to do with how they're promoting him and how tough he is in the ring. It's more along the lines of what will he do with it if he did win it, and I could see that storyline playing out. So he's not a guaranteed loser. Ricochet's a guaranteed loser, not winning. Anybody want to see Ricochet, Bobby Lashley? Raise your hand. Nobody does. Okay. Anybody want to see Morrison, Bobby Lashley? Raise your hand. Nobody does. It's not happening. Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross. Nikki Cross is now a superhero. But before you go crazy and start yelling and screaming at the WWE, which I did last night, apparently this is Nikki Cross's idea. Apparently Nikki Cross pitched this idea, and Vince McMahon liked it, and they ran with it. I don't like it. The only thing I like about it is you're going to get Nikki Cross actually some TV time. She's going to be able to show what she can do, which she is a really good wrestler. But you've taken away, I think, one of the best things about Nikki Cross, and that is her whole entire persona. Now all of a sudden she's like this superhero with a butterfly on her cape. It's very hard to take this women's division seriously. You have a witch. You have a superhero. You have a fashion model. It's starting to remind me of the old days. Again, at least Nikki Cross gets something to do. As a matter of fact, she pretty much dominated this whole match. Alexa Bliss wasn't in it very long and didn't do much when she was in it, except hypnotize people. There was no supernatural nonsense other than the hypnosis. They seem to be taking that away from her. They seem to realize that if she can make the ring explode and lights fall and everything else, there's no way she could possibly ever lose a wrestling match. So they're trying to take that away from her, and I think what they're trying to say is it was the doll doing it, not Nikki, so therefore the doll's gone. That stuff doesn't happen. I don't know. Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler out of the contention now for the Money in the Bank. That's too bad, in a way. I can understand why you just can't have Nia Jax in there. She's not going to climb the ladder. She's not gonna. But it would have been interesting to have Shayna Baszler in there, I think. So now we have Nikki Cross, and by the way, Nikki Cross didn't say one word about Alexa Bliss or her new whatever. I thought she was so concerned about her. The last time we saw Nikki Cross, she was practically in tears saying, "This is not Alexa. I have to do something to save her." Oh, well, the hell with her. We'll form a tag team, and that'll be fine for the night. Oh, my God. You want to talk about dead-end writing, blind alleys. This is what we're talking about here, Mike. I mean, they did nothing at all with that whole segment of how Nikki and Alexa used to be friends, and she was so scared for Nikki or for Alexa. Nothing.
Yeah, and think of it this way, Marcus. I mean, you could have had a whole thing about, you know, not just the fact that, but, you know, her getting to Nick, Alexa getting into Nikki's head, you know, and maybe you could have flipped Nikki, you know.
Yeah, although I guess Alexa's a face. She's fighting heels. She's fighting heels constantly. So I imagine that Alexa's a face. I don't know. I don't know. But you could have at least addressed it. You could have at least said something about it. You didn't. Riddle against Drew McIntyre. And we all figure, well, Randy Orton's going to come down. He's going to cost Riddle, and this is where there's going to be some problems in the gym. And instead, Randy Orton does come down, but he doesn't do anything. He just stands there with his arms folded. And Riddle beats Drew McIntyre, the man who was your Hell in the Cell main event last night, the night before last. And they want you to say, well, look how badly his back is scarred up. He went through hell. Well, how come Bobby Lashley can fight? How come Bobby Lashley has no problem? How come Bobby Lashley's coming out there strutting and strutting and saying, I'll fight anybody right tonight. I don't care. But Drew can't. So now you've really made Drew McIntyre look weak as a kitten. You really have, because Bobby Lashley's like, I'll take on Xavier Woods. I don't give a damn. A Hell in a Cell again, no problem. Last night was no big deal. I'm fine. Drew McIntyre's backstage. Me back and me head and me ribs and me, I can't walk. Okay, well, I don't know then. You can't beat Matt Riddle, so. You lost by a roll-up. Just so you remember, you weren't put in the Hurt Lock for 20 minutes. You lost with a roll-up. Makes Drew McIntyre look terrible. Then we got the little teaser where Matt Riddle says to Randy Orton, I'm sorry about what happened. Come on, you know, give me the fist bump, and Randy Orton won't. Okay, well, tension in the ranks. That's good. And then we find out, here's the kicker of the whole night for me. We find out, well, don't worry, folks, because next week the losers get one more chance. Oh, why? Why do the losers get one more chance? You lost. How come you can't have fresh people? How come Jackson Ryker has a couple of victories? How come he's not in it? Again, Matt Hardy has a couple of victories. Jeff Hardy has a couple of victories. How come he's not in it? Almost as a tag team champion and his partner was in it. How come he's not in it? How come? But the guys who lost, you'll get another chance. You get two bites at the apple. Who makes these rules? I mean, this is ridiculous. There's no point in having a tournament if the losers get a second chance. So AJ Styles, who's not winning again, because of course he can't. He's got a tag team match. Drew McIntyre to let win because, as the announcers pointed out, he can't really cash in the Money in the Bank on Bobby Lashley because he's not allowed to have a title shot against Bobby Lashley. And Randy Orton. Well, you know Randy Orton's going to win. Because, of course, they want Randy Orton and Riddle in the same match. Just, that's going to be the promoting theme of Money in the Bank is what's going to happen when it comes down to Riddle and Orton because the rest of the guys are going to be cannon fodder, at least on Raw. I don't think there's anybody saying, oh, boy, that Morrison, oh, Ricochet's going to grab that case. No, they're not going to. I got news. Riddle's not grabbing it either. Hey, who else is it? Randy Orton's not. So now we know that somebody from SmackDown will win Money in the Bank. We already know. We don't even know who's in it yet from SmackDown, and we already know a SmackDown guy is going to win Money in the Bank. We already know it. Because Riddle and Orton, they don't want to break them up because they're starting to do well with merchandise sales and things like that. They don't want to break them up right now. But they want to cause the fans to have some tension. So these two guys are going to bring together. This is going to be tough, and they can build that up for a month, which is good. That's a good thing. But neither one of them is going to win because Randy Orton with the briefcase against Bobby Lashley isn't going to mean anything except that it's going to destroy the team of him and Riddle, and that's not going to work, and vice versa if Riddle had it. So it's, and no one thinks Riddle's going to beat Bobby Lashley. He's already tried 3 or 4 times. So then I win it either. So now we clearly see that SmackDown participant, whoever it happens to be, is going to win. That's ruining it, Todd. I mean, they've literally ruined Money in the Bank.
Oh, you're absolutely right there, like you said. Like you said, you should have superstars who are not even involved in Money in the Bank. Not just, like, giving guys second chances or anything.
Having a second chance after you've already lost, Mike, means nothing. And you know Randy Orton's going to win, and you already know he's not pulling down the Money in the Bank briefcase because they want to keep the team together. So now we know, clearly, it's going to be a SmackDown guy.
Yeah, and frankly, think about this. Even if you did want AJ to win it, it still wouldn't make sense to not have Almost in there because think about it. Almost is, what, 7 foot tall? You know, 400 pounds. He's not climbing the ladder, right? I get that. But he can help AJ get it, you know. Yeah, AJ, you want AJ and Almost together. I get that. But it would be logical for them to have Almost in there. I mean, he could absolutely sit there and throw – keep people off of AJ as AJ's climbing the ladder, you know?
Yeah, you know, this is the thing. If there was anyone who you might be interested in seeing fight Bobby Lashley or have the belt, it might be Almost because you're like, well, I don't know, man. That's not going to go down too easy. I don't even think Lashley could reach him to put on the Hurt Lock. So it could be interesting. It will be boring in a way because Almost isn't a very talented wrestler, but at least storyline-wise, it could be something. But we already know that's not the case. They've got something for Bobby Lashley that does not involve – the only person who could possibly win this from Raw is Drew McIntyre. Drew McIntyre could possibly win it from Raw only because he'll challenge Roman Reigns. He won't challenge Bobby Lashley. He'll try to challenge Bobby Lashley, and they'll bring up the stipulation and say, oh, remember. And then he'll say, fine, then I'll go for Roman. We've already seen that match. I don't know what to tell you. And I don't even think that's happening, but that could potentially. We then get Xavier Woods, who's, for some reason, challenging Bobby Lashley in Hell in a Cell. We know what the reason is, because Raw bitched and moaned and yelled and screamed about them having a Hell in a Cell match on SmackDown, so they said, well, fine, we'll give you one on Raw. But they didn't really announce it, so it's not going to help the ratings. Again, a good match, and I know what the gimmick is. The gimmick is that MVP locks himself in that cage, forces Kofi Kingston to watch Bobby Lashley refuse to let go of the Hurt Lock when he's destroying Xavier Woods' neck, and he's trying to get to Kofi Kingston. He's trying to break Kofi Kingston. That's good enough. I mean, it's a good visual to end Raw with. But at the end of the day, we're still not interested in Kofi Kingston versus Bobby Lashley. At least I'm not. Because Kofi Kingston's not going to be the champion again. Kofi sides with MVP, which is not going to happen. I called this from the first exact moment that MVP approached Kingston. The very next day on this show, I said it's not going to be Kofi. It's going to be Xavier. Kofi's going to be the guy that says, I don't turn on my friends. I don't do this. This is blah, blah, blah. You can tempt me with anything you want. We're a unit. We've always been family. I will never, ever, 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 ever take your filthy money over my friendship. But Xavier will. And now Xavier Woods is going to say, after, you know, being in that cage and whatever, I realize I'm always the last guy out. I'm the guy. Remember, he made a hint. He said, I realize you people don't put me on the same league, the same plateau as Big E or Kofi. I realize that. Well, that was the first clue. It's going to be Xavier. It's going to cost Kofi his match probably because they're probably going to tell the story too quick. He's going to blame Kofi for not helping him or getting him into Hell in a Cell or whatever it happens to be. He's going to tell Kofi, you know, I'm far better off with MVP. This is going to break Kofi's power of positivity thing, and we're going to get Kofi Kingston versus Xavier Woods in some big pay-per-view, maybe SummerSlam. That's what's going to happen. So, oh, and we also got the reverse with the tag team champions Natty and Tamina, who are taking pictures, and now it's Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke in the ring. This is real bad. I mean, this is high school play bad because three of them can't act. Natty can get her lines through. Everybody else is just – and it's a shame because Dana Brooke did a pretty good – I mean, not Dana Brooke. Mandy Rose did a pretty good job when she was with Otis. But all she really had to do was act like, oh, this guy likes me and I'm such a wonderful person. I don't care that he's a big, fat, sweaty pig. That's all she had to do. She did that pretty well. She's not doing this well at all. She's just not doing it well at all. And we're saying to ourselves, well, who's the bad guy? Who's the good guy? Again, we don't care. They're interchangeable as can be. If Dana Brooke and Mandy Rose are the tag team champions, who cares? If Natty and Tamina remain the tag team champion, who cares? There is no fan base for these people. None. Zero. Because you've done nothing to make us fans of these people. Nothing. Nothing. When's the last time we saw Humberto Carrillo, by the way? I mean, you got Ricochet out there. What happened to Humberto? What happened to Angel Garza? Well, he was sticking roses down people's trunks and kicking them. What the hell happened to Angel Garza's push? How come Angel Garza doesn't get a shot at the Money in the Bank? How come Humberto Carrillo doesn't get a shot at Money in the Bank? Jinder Mahal's backstage. How come he doesn't? He got a victory. Hardy's writer, because Hardy got a couple of victories. So did Alexander, forget it. Although it doesn't matter, I guess. Wins and losses don't matter. I don't know what to tell you. Here is some news, though, before we rate Raw. You're not going to believe this news, folks. Drum roll. I don't have one on the board, but if I had a drum roll. Apparently, Karrion Kross had a dark match, and it was received rather positively. And it looks like they want him on the main roster to the point where he actually had a main event match on main event, not a main event match, a match on main event against Shelton Benjamin. And they like him. Guess who didn't come out with him? Scarlett. Guess who's getting a tryout for a main roster on Friday? Scarlett. They're breaking him up, apparently. Because that didn't work, I guess, for I don't know how long. I don't know what the hell's going on. I don't know what the hell's going on. I don't know whether they're going to give Karrion Kross a different gimmick. They're going to try to give Scarlett a different gimmick. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I do know that they made a very, very, very good team and still are making a good team in NXT. And you're going to somehow take that away. I don't get it. I just don't get it. Now, the word is that Vince McMahon doesn't like manager gimmicks. Well, what do you mean you don't like manager gimmicks? The two best gimmicks you've got going on right now involve managers or at least advocates. Paul Heyman, without Paul Heyman, I don't know if this would have worked out as well as it did because I hear Paul Heyman is doing a lot of the writing for this. presence just makes it very clear that Roman Reigns is a heel. Every time you say, well, Roman has a point, you also say, yeah, a pole in the corner, beaming like a Cheshire cat, we get it. And MVP. There's no Bobby Lashley without MVP. Zero. It doesn't exist. So I don't know why Vince is against this. I have no idea why. But apparently that's what I'm hearing. So if we do see Karrion Kross, we may not see him with Scarlett. And if we do see Scarlett, we may not see her with Karrion Kross. So that's pretty interesting. I've heard people say this Raw was a step in the right direction. I don't see how. All the Money in the Bank qualifiers were people who were either A, not winning it, or B, doesn't deserve to if they do. The rest of the matches were Nikki Cross is a superhero, whatever. I mean, you've tried this gimmick before many times. This is Molly Holly, right? Mighty Molly. So, I mean, I've come up with a brilliant idea. I'll be Molly Holly. Okay. I just don't know. Yes, I do have a little bit of interest in what's happening with the Hurt Business, only because of MVP and the interesting storyline there. But other than that, I mean, again, I just don't have that much interest in anybody on Raw. Even AJ Styles has lost my interest because what is he doing? He's a tag team champion who says, I'm going to go in the Money in the Bank, and almost is just sitting there like a big dumb turd saying, that's great. He's not saying, well, what about me? I'm a tag team champion too. How come I don't get a shot at Money in the Bank? None of it makes any sense. The motivations are terribly, terribly written. Terribly written. And for that reason, I can't give it better than a C-. Mike, what's your thoughts?
I got to give it a D+. And frankly, you know what? Jinder Mahal has a point. You know, you're putting all these ex-champions in it. I'm an ex-champion. Why ain't I in it?
Right, he did have a point. That's what I'm saying. But the losers get another shot, Mike. The losers get another shot. But Jinder Mahal gets no shot. Well, Jinder Mahal said, what happens if somebody can't make it? So you know he's going to attack someone. You know someone is not going to make it to Money in the Bank. My thought process is that's how they take out Drew McIntyre, and that's the next feud. My thought process is he takes out Drew McIntyre, who's about to win next week. Somehow he takes him out. McIntyre doesn't win the Money in the Bank briefcase opportunity. Orton does, so we can get the tension between Orton and Riddle. And Drew McIntyre's next feud. At least that's what I'm thinking. I mean, I don't know who else they take out. The only other person they could possibly take out, maybe they take out Riddle and then there is no tension because Riddle's taken out. But I don't see it. I don't see it. Todd, what's your rating this week on Monday Night Raw?
I got to go with you. A C-.
Yeah, I mean, I think they ruined Money in the Bank, at least the Raw end of Money in the Bank. Now, obviously, we don't know who's going to be in the SmackDown Money in the Bank qualifiers, but we can assume. And if they do that kind of thing, if they, well, we're going to put Sami Zayn in there, he's not winning. And we're going to put Apollo Crews in there, he's not winning. But I promise you, an Uso is going to be in there. I promise you, either Jimmy or Jay is going to be in there. If not both. Which would be real interesting if both were. Real interesting. So again, because you've written the storylines better on SmackDown, we're more interested about who might go into SmackDown than we are who went into Raw, because Raw was just like we picked him out of a hat. John Morrison, who's accomplished exactly what to deserve this? Zero. Ricochet, who's accomplished exactly what to do this? And then you have to have help to win, which makes Ricochet basically look like a heel instead of a face. Matt Riddle, he's not winning. He's not winning. So I just don't understand. It seems like Raw is just like the secondary show now, and it's like, whatever. Let's get over with Raw so we can get on our way to SmackDown where the real wrestling fans are interested in what we're doing. That's what it feels like to me. And it's a shame because you've got Drew McIntyre. You've got Bobby Lashley in MVP. You've got The New Day. You've got AJ Styles. You've got a lot of talented people over there. And you can't make anyone give one damn about them. That's a shame. Now, we should mention, of course, Mike, that they changed Alexa Bliss's music. And that means they're trying to separate her as much as they can from The Fiend. I hear that there's been some Fiend sightings, so to speak, so I expect to see him back pretty soon.
Yeah, I would expect him to see him back pretty soon. And to tell you the truth, you know, if they're going to do that, they better stop her from using the music as well, because I would like to see them do some more with the Funhouse, you know?
Yeah, I don't think she's going to be a part of it. I mean, they changed her music to her laughing and then some other music and her talking and some other music. She didn't come out to the Funhouse music this week. So I don't think she's going to be a part of the Funhouse anymore. But I don't know. I don't see The Fiend coming back, obviously, for Money in the Bank. So we're probably talking SummerSlam. So they're probably going to put a little distance between there. But I just, again, I don't know how the fans are going to receive it. Because he kind of ruined them, and I don't think they're going to forget it. I just don't. If you think, oh, they're going to forget Randy Orton beat him twice, they're going to forget. I don't think they're going to. Oh, they'll forget Alexa Bliss screwed him over. He won't have anything to do with Alexa Bliss. Well, okay, but why not? Why wouldn't he? I just don't get it. Raw writing is really bad. It's really, 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 really bad. It's not just bad. It's really, really bad. And that's where the problem is. Once in a while, you'll get a good segment with the RK-Bro tag team, and you got MVP who always delivers. Aside from that, you got nothing. You've got an Alexa Bliss who is so underrated when it comes to her performances, but you've given her absolute crap to do, so what is she supposed to do with it? You've got tag team champions nobody cares about. You've got women's tag team champions nobody cares about. Sheamus is injured, so you can't. It's just a mess. Raw's a mess right now, folks. Let's hope it rights the ship, but I got to tell you, I'm not maintaining a lot of hope because I see nothing in the WWE writing that indicates to me that they even understand there's a problem. We'll see you on Friday.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.